Welcome to the 2019 Calvary Chapel French Valley Men's Retreat. Our theme this year is strength training, growing daily in the things that really matter. God created men to be doers, but are men doing things that really matter? Ephesians 3 records a prayer by the Apostle Paul in which he refers to the inner man. In this series of four messages, we will seek to understand what Paul means by the inner man and why it is so important for men so that they can be doing things that really matter.
Good morning, guys. Isn't it a blessing to be up on the hill again? Mike and I were talking, and Mike said, it's fresh up here. And so, you know, I want you to think about it's fresh for us to come up here to be refreshed. And so as we go through each of the teachings, those are important because you should hear something from each of the speakers. But in addition to that, you need to be refreshed by spending some time with the Lord yourself and maybe with another guy, talking about those issues that are on your heart that you need, that God wants you to deal with, because the world's down there. It's off the mountain. We're in a fresh place. So let's refresh by, you know, interacting and communing with God, our Father. Amen? Well, Pastor Rick last night introduced us to the inner man. The Apostle Paul identified two men really within each of us. The outward man, he that is failing over a time, physically, his strength, emotionally, appearance, and I call that the temporal, you know, because that's what we're living in, is this temporal world, and that's the outward man. And all of us, you know, want our outward man to be pretty honed, don't we? The only problem with that is that it's failing. Now think about what Pastor Rick asked us to do last night, to remember our great-great-grandparents, you know? Oh, that's an easy task, isn't it? It wasn't so easy. And it just demonstrates the fact that the world is failing. Things are being forgotten. A legacy, as Rick shared, is important. What kind of legacy do we want to leave with our families? Quite honestly, within the church, but even more importantly, with God. So the inner man is the eternal position. What's going to happen eternally with us? And that's what happens within the eternal man. So if we neglect the inner man, then our eternal position is going to be, I put down, dubious at best. Dubious because, you know, God offers Christians rewards. He tells us that. But we'll see in a passage that I'm going to share with you a little bit later that we can be disqualified because we're not developing our inner man to be in tune with who God is. Last night, Pastor Rick gave us four exercises to look at. One of them was to be trusting. And as I listened to that, I looked at my notes and, you know, that's in a nutshell what we're going to be talking about today. Trust. Faith. It's very similar. It's part of the definition. So our passage today is found in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. Doesn't take very long to read it, but we're going to. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Through can also mean by faith. Well, let's pray and get into what God has for us this morning. Father, it's always a blessing to come upon the hill to be refreshed. We thank you for a place like this, Father, that provides a time of refreshing. And I pray, Father, for each man sitting here, standing here, that we would hear from you this day. that we, Father, would enjoy what's here, but Lord, that we would do the business that you've called this retreat to do, and that's to look at the inner man. So Lord, bless us with an opportunity and a conviction to seek your face and to pour out our hearts so that we can see where our inner man is at in relationship to you and with others. We praise you and give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to look at in our passage two essentials to what I call our inner man strength workout. You know, almost all of us have at some time or another gone to a gym to work out. And so we work out that outside man. We work out trying to get honed so that we have strength. The problem is that if we put more time and energy into that, we don't look at what we need to do a workout for our inner man. And so I want to look at these two essentials because what I want you to take home, and I'm going to be honest, this is a basic message that I want to leave with you. But if you take home the essentials and the applications that I want to give you, you know, your life is going to be touched. So the first essential in our inner man strength workout is to recognize that Christ dwells in your heart. Recognize. I'd be interested, and I don't want you to hold your hands up, but how many of us really understood that we had an inner man before this retreat came up? We may have read it, but we didn't concentrate on it. And so what I want you to take away as an essential is that you need to personally recognize that Christ dwells in your heart. Now, Christians and Christianity has many differences than the world. But one of the primary differences that we have as a Christian is that Christ dwells in our heart. Buddha doesn't dwell in the hearts of Buddha. Muhammad doesn't dwell in the hearts of Muslims. Atheists, I have no clue what dwells in their heart. We're different. Christ dwells in our heart. But what does it mean to dwell? Well, I went to Strong's Concordance and I looked up the word for dwell, and it's katokeo, katokeo. It means to dwell in, to inhabit, to remain, to abide. Another word that's often rendered dwell is the word shakhan or shakhin, which means to settle in or settle down. And as I looked at that, the rabbinic word shekinah was derived from those two words, shakhin, shakhan. Shekinah, that's a pretty powerful word. It means to that which dwells. Shekinah is the light shining on the mercy seat, which symbolized the divine presence. In Exodus 25 and verse 8, it says this, "Then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. I will Shekinah among them." What God is saying is that if they build that sanctuary, I will come. I will dwell in that sanctuary. I will shine in that sanctuary. And what's interesting, if you continue to look at that, part of the definition said this, in order to avoid appearing to localize the divine being, in other words, order to keep it from looking like there's only a local definition of Shekinah, just in one place, wherever God is said to dwell in a place, the Targum, and I'll tell you what that is here in a minute, renders that he causes his Shekinah to dwell there. So the Targum is like the New Living Translation. It's a different version of the Word of God. The Targum was a rabbinic concept that the rabbis would come up and create a different kind of version of something so that they could understand it better. And so what they're saying here is that rather than saying that God only dwells in this place, that he causes his Shekinah glory to dwell there, meaning in different places. And what's important about that is even in the Old Testament, we know that God was not just centered in one place, right? His Shekinah glory shone over the mercy seat. It shone in the Holy of Holies. But God was everywhere. And so we use the term Shekinah glory to capture the fact that God is filling an area. I would say to you that the Shekinah glory is in this place right now because God's dwelling in here. And it's important to understand that because I think in Exodus 25:8, where it talked about God wanting a sanctuary for him and he would dwell among them, it tells us that God dwells in the sanctuaries where his glory can shine. His sanctuaries. I want you to keep that in mind. So God appears through the Bible wanting to have relationship with his people, with his creation. In Genesis, in 3:8, it talks about God walking with Adam. Now, you can't walk with somebody without having some relationship. You can't interact like that without some kind of relationship and communing. And then he met Moses on Mount Sinai. These are only a couple of examples in Exodus 19. And if you remember, you know, God had his Shekinah glory on Moses. Moses came out and off of that mountain, and what happened with Moses? That Shekinah glory shone for an extended period of time. It was so bright that the people would back off of him because it was just too bright for them. He had to put a veil over it because God's Shekinah glory was just all about Moses. It dwelt upon him. So God desires to have relationship with us by dwelling with us. Now, should that surprise us? I mean, when you think about that God wants to dwell with us in our heart, manifested through the Holy Spirit, should that surprise us? Because what are we? Psalm 33 tells us about who we are and who God is. We are His creation. His creation. This world is God's creation. Have you ever made anything with your hands and very proud of it? You know, God loves his creation. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, "For we are his workmanship." We are his workmanship. He formed every part of you. And last night when Pastor Rick was talking about that everything that happens in our life has a spiritual meaning, it's because we're his workmanship, that we are his to do as he pleases. There's only one barrier to that. We're not always in line with that. We're not always on God's wave when he acts. And then, of course, John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world." That to me tells me that he loved us so much that he created this world and then he gave us a way to be reconciled with him. So men, as we strive to strengthen the inner man, we must gain an understanding and an awe that Creator God wants to dwell in our heart. I want you to hear that statement. Because we need to understand that God, and I call God Creator God all the time because I think Scripture is replete with that, but it demonstrates who he is. He is Creator God. He made me. He made you. So we need to understand that, and that's part of what this retreat is all about. When Kevin and Pastor Rick came up with the theme, you know, I don't know if that was exactly what they wanted, but boy, is that what I got as I studied, that God, I need to understand how much God wants to dwell in and with me. And then I added the awe that we should have that Creator God wants to dwell in our heart. Awe. We should be in awe of God every moment of our life. We should be. Because He's invested in everything that we do and everything that we say and every action that we commit. We should be in awe that Creator God wants to dwell with us. And so as I, you know, looked at this theme, it just totally hit me how important it is that we need to walk off of this hill refreshed with the knowledge and the understanding and the awe that God wants to dwell within us. So what does dwell mean? It means to inhabit, to abide, to remain, to experience that Shekinah glory in our hearts. Now, I want to look at a couple of scriptures that show us that Christ wants to dwell in our hearts. The first one is out of John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. And it says this, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Verse 17. "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, but because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you." Wow. Verse 16. "That he may abide with you forever." Doesn't say short time. Doesn't say that he's going to come and go. It says he's going to dwell with us forever. You probably haven't had that thought, that God dwells in you forever. But that's again what this retreat is for, is to understand that God dwells in us as born again believers forever. It's so important for us to understand how important we are to God. God wants relationship with Ken. God wants relationship with Chuck. We can put our name there. God wants relationship with us. That should blow our minds. Because I know you guys. I know me even better. And I know that I'm not sure that I'm always worthy of that. And yet, that's what God wants. That's pretty powerful. Colossians 1:27, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." You see, it's a mystery, really, that Christ wants to be in us. But it's a mystery that provides for us the hope of glory, the hope of being in glory with Christ. Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Christ lives in me. It's not I, it's Christ living within me. I would venture to say that we always don't represent Christ well in our actions, but he's living with us. And so, you know, Pastor Rick talked about pornography last night. Just remember this, that as I sit and I might be looking at that, the Lord's right there. He's watching. And while that's not to whip you, it's to say to you, God's dwelling in you. Where do you want to take him? Where are the places that you want to go with him? Do you want to go watch X-rated movies? I don't even know if they have those anymore. R-rated movies? Do you want to take that Creator God into those places? Should there be some conviction on our hearts and our life because of that? Absolutely, there should. Because Christ dwells in our hearts. So an essential to the strengthening of the inner man, and I want every man here and those listening to understand this, the first essential is to recognize that Christ can and will dwell in your heart. I'm going to say this over and over again because you know what? If it's worth saying, it's worth repeating. Think of that Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit wants to have relationship with you and dwell in your inner man. So an inner man workout is something that we probably haven't thought that we need to do, but this retreat tells us that we have to do it to strengthen that inner man within us. The second essential to our inner man workout is to recognize that through faith, Christ dwells in our heart. You see, it's through faith that Christ can dwell. J.A. Fullerton said, faith is the key to unlock the door of the heart for Christ to dwell with us. Let me repeat it. Faith is the key to unlock the door of the heart for Christ to dwell with us. It's about faith. Through faith, God wants to dwell with us through his Holy Spirit. He wants to commune with us, and through faith, that can be done. What is faith? If you go to the dictionary, faith is a complete trust or confidence in someone or a strong belief in God or in the doctrines of a religion based on spiritual apprehension rather than proof. Hear that? Rather than proof, it's trusting in someone or a strong belief in God. That's how the dictionary defines it. So basically, if you pull that down into something that's workable, the dictionary then says it is trust without proof. It's a pretty good definition of faith. It's trust without proof. But then what does Scripture say? If you go to Hebrews 11, verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That pretty much is how the dictionary defined it, you know? It's the substance of things hoped for and not proved. So it's trust, complete trust in something without proof. That's faith. So the faith of the inner man must have complete trust in God who he has never seen visually. And that's a starting point for faith. Because in order to give our life over to the Lord, we have to have a trust that what God said is true. Now, the Bible and people like Pastor Rick and spiritual giants in your life, they can demonstrate that and you can see proof because you see how a life is changed. But initially, it comes from trusting without proof. Then we go on and we look at Hebrews 11:6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, that he exists, that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Well, that's a pretty interesting scripture, isn't it? Without faith, most of the time we can't please him. It's not what it says. It doesn't say, oh, it's a little bit difficult, a little bit hard. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. So faith is a non-negotiable in our relationship with God. With it, you have Creator God dwelling in you. Without it, you ultimately are separated from God and his Son. Later on in a scripture, we're going to see that as being called disqualified. Chapter 11 of Hebrews, if you haven't read it, is all about faith of Old Testament saints, primarily. And, you know, you think about those examples, and you see some men and women in there that you kind of question. Rahab, the harlot, you know, Samson is in there. And what that says is that God didn't say that we needed to be perfect on this earth. Would he like that? Absolutely. I only know one perfect man. And I look out, I don't see perfect men. But if I put a cross right up here, I would see perfection, because through the cross of Jesus Christ, you're perfect. The outward man, which is temporal, which is what we're living right now, not perfect. And so God didn't call us to be perfect before he dwelled within us. In Ephesians 2:8, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Now, why is that important? Because faith is not something you buy. Faith is not something you earn. Faith is not something that you can be good enough. It's a gift from God. Every good gift comes from God. So God gives us his grace so that we can completely trust in him and then have salvation through Jesus Christ. It's his work to give us faith. And it's through that faith that Christ will dwell in us. So faith is God's gift to us. And know that it's not about us. It's about him. And in fact, if you go on in verse 9 of chapter 2, it says, "Not of works, lest anyone should boast." You see, we can't boast about our faith because it was given to us freely. And so it's important to put that in a proper perspective. He gives it freely for us. Now, what's an example of faith? Years ago, Deb and I and Brandon were in Banda Aceh, where the tsunami hit, 2004. And when that tsunami came in, it wiped out everything. And so one of the things that they had a difficult time dealing with was water. How do you drink water when it's tainted? So we brought over some water purifiers, gave a bunch of them out. And so, you know, that was our faith. We brought that. But you know what the thing that demonstrated faith was? Did we drink it? Did we, when we put that all together, did we put a cup down and take a swig of that? Because that demonstrated to the Banda Achenese that it wasn't something that was there to hurt them. And they had faith in it because they watched us be able to do that. And yes, I did drink it. And I'm still standing. Faith is not just believing that the water is clean, it's the drinking of the water. Faith is complete trust in Creator God and then placing ourselves in His hands. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 38, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of Him who sent me." Jesus put aside His godly self to do God's will. If Jesus could do that, can't we? Can't we allow our inner man to have Jesus come in and do things that are unbelievably committed to God? So your faith reflects your inner man. And if your faith is limited, if your faith is not being exercised in your inner man, it atrophies. It begins to erode. It's kind of like, you know, that situation where you go and work out and have muscle and stop working out and then there's none. Our faith, if we're not working it out, atrophies as well. You know, there's a movie I watched just a little bit ago. It's called Facing the Giants. You ever see it? Good movie. Because it talks a lot about faith. And there's a scene in it. I don't know if you remember this, but the coach's wife goes to the doctor because she so wants to have a baby. So much so that she's always testing herself to see if she's pregnant. So she goes into the doctor's. They do the test. The nurse comes in, and the nurse says, "Sorry, not today." She walks out to her truck, and she gets in the truck, and then she says, standing outside, "You know, God, whatever You give me," paraphrasing, right? "If I'm to have a baby, I'll praise You. If I'm not to have a baby, I'll praise You." Because her faith was in God who had her in His hands. All of us have those kinds of examples in our lives, you know, where we can go and get angry at God, or we can say, "You know what, Lord, I don't understand it." And I will tell you that I've been through so many things in my life that I've said that. "Don't understand it, Lord." Can't even come close to grasping the true meaning of why that is. But here's what I know. You're faithful. You're faithful to accomplish great things in this situation. Could be a lost job. Could be a lost child. Could be coming up against somebody that just tries to destroy us. The bottom line is, where's the faith of my inner man? And am I exercising that? So I want to go and talk now about a few barriers to strengthening our inner man through faith. And I want to talk about barriers. There's a bunch of them, but I'm going to give you three. And I want to give you three because Kevin told me if I went too long, he would hurt me. And after last night, and he's the only true man in here, I knew that I better pay attention. Barriers. Let me give you three. The first one is knowing Christ. You see, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're already separated from His indwelling. Romans 8:9 says this: "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not His." The fact is that if we don't have the Spirit of Christ in our life, in a saving salvation way, Christ doesn't take up residence in us. He can't. I'll tell you some angels that could. They're demonic, but it's not Jesus Christ. It's not the angel of light. And so the biggest barrier there is to Christ dwelling in us is not committing our life to Him, is not accepting Him as our personal Savior. I know most of you, and so, you know, I'm not worried about this barrier overall, but I do want to throw this out at you. If you have a question today about salvation, you know, don't hesitate to ask. Any person in here can help you with that. True salvation, a true commitment to Jesus Christ, a true confession that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior. And then if you're just questioning your eternal salvation, and I'm not going to read it, I want you to do it. Read 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. It talks about the fact that we can know. So look at that scripture. So the first barrier is knowing Christ. And I wanted to share that with you because when you go down the hill, you're going to run into people that, number one, aren't going to understand that Christ can dwell in you. And so you need to be helping them to blast this barrier apart in their life. The second barrier is to be too busy. It's pretty obvious, isn't it? But as Pastor Rick talked about last night, men derive their identity from several things. Job title, how buff they are, their positions, their money, their whatever. You can go on and on and on and on. All of these can, underline the word can, become a barrier to the time and energy you need to spend working out strengthening your inner man. Now notice I said can, okay? Because it doesn't mean it does unless you allow it. And so busyness can be an excuse as well as a condition of life that keeps us from working out our inner man. And I will tell you that probably every single one of us have been in that place. We're so busy that we can't find the time to read, to pray, to go to a study, to have a confrontation with somebody, allowing them to pour into my life and my heart to convict me of my sin. Busyness is a barrier to truly working out our inner man. And so busyness is something we all need to understand can stop us from truly developing the inner man. Generally, if busyness is part of our life and it becomes an excuse, we're working on our outer man. And our outer man is failing. We're choosing the wrong man. We're spending so much time there that we lose this. Along the way, we may lose things like our family, church friends, all those things that can come alongside of that. It's a barrier, men, and we need to understand that. The third one that I wanted to hit, and like I said, I could have had six, but fearful of Kevin, man. The third one is lack of biblical knowledge. Lack of biblical knowledge. You know, I hear this all the time from people. I just don't know the Bible well enough. I just don't understand. I'm just not able to understand it. Well, let me tell you, this is a barrier that you've created, if this is you. It's a barrier that you've chosen to keep you from working out your inner man. As you guys know, I'm not a genius. Not able to, you know, come up with everything. In fact, as I get later on in life, sometimes it's hard to even know who he is. But I'll tell you what I am. I'm a man that truly wants to know God deeply. I'm a man that wants to see him flow over our world. God's heart is grieved by Christians' ignorance. God's heart is grieved by the falling away that's coming, that's here. And the reason that that is there is that barrier. I don't know enough about the Bible. I don't understand it. All you have to do to break that barrier is to start reading the Word, taking a word and breaking it down to understand it. The word Shekinah is such a powerful word because it talks about God's presence. Break it down. Understand what it means. The barrier of lack of biblical knowledge is your fault. You put it up there. God didn't. You know, like with any job that you do, whether it's for your profession or something around the house, you generally go out and get a little bit of training for it, don't you? You increase your knowledge of it. You increase your skill. And you think about that, that's the outer man. If I'm going to be a truck driver, I need to know how to back the thing up. I'm not going to just hop in there and get it done. Some people have that talent, but this child doesn't. So I'd have to learn. I'd have to spend the time developing that skill. So I take that time to do that. Isn't that true of the inner man? If I want the inner man to by faith, to allow God not only to dwell but to come out, I need to spend time learning, exercising in the faith. God calls us to do that. And my question for you is, where is your priority? Where is your motivation? And are you truly desiring to develop your faith in God? Listen to that question. Do you truly desire to develop your faith in God so that Christ can dwell in your heart? So I want to go to the two applications that I want to leave you with. I want you to take these home with you. Actually, I want you to even work on them here. You know, for a long time, I worked in construction, and I'll tell you, I had a pretty lean, mean body with a six-pack ab and all that good stuff, you know. I really did. I know you're laughing. But once I got out of that and once I stopped wanting to go to the gym, my body quickly developed what I call a 24-pack. Instead of muscle, I had skin folds. That's an ugly sight, isn't it? Even a thought, it's an ugly thing. We've seen them. Amen. Yeah, right. A 24-pack because I didn't put the time and energy into what I needed to do to stay in that lean, mean, six-pack ab person. Good intentions, it doesn't tone you. It doesn't build you up. I can have all the good intentions that I want, but I'll tell you what, the muscles don't come by my good intentions. So I had good intentions, but poor follow through, great desire, and no action. Great desire and no action causes me to atrophy in anything that I don't do that I would like to do. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, it says this: examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? That's a disqualified statement that I was telling you about. But the scripture gives us our first application today. Pastor Rick actually alluded to it last night. And it is this: examine ourselves. Examine who we are. Are we a true believer in Jesus Christ? Are we a nominal believer in Jesus Christ? Are we disqualified? Do I know the difference? Do you have complete faith in God? Do you believe that He's sovereign over everything in your life? The big things and the little things. The fight with your wife, the difficulty with your teenager. Do you believe God's in that? Pastor Rick said it again last night, that everything in our life has a spiritual meaning. And if we look at ourselves and examine who we are, we're going to find out what our status is. Because I will tell you that while I fail often, I believe that God is in everything. Not a thing. Now, I will say that, like you guys, I get mad sometimes because somebody cuts me off. Or I get mad sometimes when a guy tells me I'm number one on the freeway. But you know what? There's purpose in these things. It's a refining of our faith. It's a opportunity for God to work in our lives to do great and miraculous things. But if we don't stop and take the time to look inside, if we don't stop and take the time to say, what do you think, Pastor Rick? Where do you think I'm at right now? Do you see some things that I might need to have refined? Could be painful. Could be. But again, if our true desire is to know God and allow Jesus to dwell within us, we need to have faith that God will work in somebody else, through somebody else, to refine us. And that's why, you know, Kevin talks about all the time, get an accountability partner. And I'm going to just throw that out. Do each of you have somebody that could come to you and say, how you doing with Jesus right now? Did you look at anything that you shouldn't have looked at this week? That accountability things is part of the examination process. And you're up here on this mountain in a fresh place. Allow yourself to hear from God. Start the process now of looking at what your status is. Where's your inner man? Most of us didn't realize that there was an inner man. And so now we have to deal with that and say, where am I at? What's the place you want me to be? So the first application that I want you to take and run with, not at home, but now, is to look at yourself. Spend some time. You'll have some free time here this afternoon. You know what? Yeah, go play some basketball or whatever else, but take 30 minutes, take an hour, and sit at the Lord's feet and say, Lord, I heard that. Show me. I heard that. I need you to talk to me. Or to go to Larry and say, Larry, what do you see in me? You see some weakness? And not be afraid of his answer. Because his answer is not to bludgeon you. His answer is to help you work out, to do the strength training that you need for your inner man. Examine yourself. First application. The second application is this. It's to make a covenant to work out your inner man. I want to repeat it. To make a covenant to work out your inner man. In Job chapter 31, verse 1, Job says, I make a covenant with my eyes, in essence, not to look at the young chicks. Not exactly what it says in the word, but that's what he was doing. To make a covenant with his eyes, not to allow himself to go to a place he shouldn't. And gentlemen, what I want you to hear and see is that we come to a mountain and we're on a high and we go home and we're done. I don't want you to do that. I want you here to make a covenant with yourself to do strength training for your inner man. Strength training. Now, if you say, gosh, I don't know how to do that. You know, there are a bunch of guys right around here that can help you. They can help you come up with what I call an action plan to get it done. And an action plan isn't 35 things. An action plan may be, listen, just read this scripture over and over and over again. Pray. I'll join you in prayer. But the bottom line is that if you take and you hear what I'm saying and kind of laugh or poo-paw it and then say, yeah, that sounds good, and then I go home and I do jack, I've lost an opportunity to make a covenant with myself to develop my inner man. And if you don't get anything else from what I say, hear that. Create for yourself an action plan. And if you need help, got a lot of guys that can come alongside of you. There's not one man in this room that cannot get stronger in their inner man. There's not one. Even Pastor Rick. There's not one man that cannot get stronger in their inner man. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. He being us, you being God. Because he trusts in you. Do you want peace in your life? Trust in God. Do you want to be able to see not only peace, but your trust increase? Put your mind on God. Put your mind continuously on who the Lord is. I'm going to conclude here. In doing that, I want to read 1 Corinthians 6:19 to you. It says this, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Let me read it again. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? You know, this isn't about you as a man. It's about you as a Christian man. It's who it is. You're the temple, as a born-again believer, you're the temple of God. That means the Shekinah glory of God shines in you? Is it a bright light? Is it a flickering light? Is it an illuminated light? God desires to shine in your heart as he allows his son to dwell in you. I want everybody to stand up. That means everybody. Now here's what I want you to do. I want you to make eye contact with one other person. Just turn and look at them. Look in there. Okay, now. I understand that it's hard to look at another man, but bear with me. Bear with me. All right, here's what I want you to do. I want you to look in that other man's eyes, and I want you to say this to them, okay? What? Okay. Now say to them, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Jesus dwells in your heart. Turn it around. The other person do it. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Jesus dwells in you. God has called us to be men of faith. This life is not about you as just a man. It is about you as a Christian man of faith. Let's pray. Father, what a blessing that it is that we can put our outer man aside and start to look at our inner man. I thank you for this scripture that gives us the opportunity to know that we need to work out that inner man in strengthening exercises. Lord, I pray that you would be glorified by this time. And there are 16, 17 guys here, Father. I pray for conviction on each of their hearts to take home something that will cause them to look at their inner man. And then, Father, bring it to you for strengthening. Lord, what a great time we have of praising you and giving you the glory, because you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this session of Strength Training. This is part of a four-message series. To listen to all the messages in this series, go to calvaryfv.com/strengthtraining. There you can find out more about Calvary Chapel French Valley and the men's ministry. If you found this message useful, please consider sharing it with someone who might appreciate it. All the teachings from Calvary Chapel French Valley can be found wherever podcasts are found. We would love to hear from you. We respond to all comments and questions. Thank you again for listening. Please do not hesitate to reach out if there is anything we can do for you. God bless you.